Latter-day Saint Voices. Faith Under the Overpass by Greg Carlson. I grew up in a small community outside of Seattle, Washington. It was relatively close to a big city, but just rural enough that opportunities to earn money for a mission were extremely limited. There were, however, a large number of gentlemen farmers in the area, so my brother and I decided to haul alfalfa hay from the big farms in the eastern part of the state over the Cascade Mountains to the small farms in our community. We fixed up an old truck that had fallen into disrepair and prepared it for hauling up to 20,000 pounds, 9,000 kilograms, of hay. We made a number of successful trips with our dad along to make sure we had things figured out before he left the operation to us. My brother and I left very early one morning for our first solo trip. We made it over the mountains, but had some difficulties loading the hay. Eventually, we headed back over the mountains with a full load. The return trip was uneventful until we noticed that it was starting to sprinkle just a bit. We immediately found an overpass on the freeway and parked underneath it just as the sprinkles turned into rain. We had not yet been able to purchase a tarp to cover the hay, and no animals can eat the alfalfa hay if it gets wet because it starts to rot and mold quickly. We knew that if we lost this load of hay, our business venture would probably fail. We sat under the overpass for quite a while, waiting for the rain to stop. Eventually, we realized that the Lord would help us if we prayed. My brother offered a prayer, and we waited. The rain did not let up. We decided that perhaps I, the elder brother, should offer a prayer. It started to rain harder. We sat there for what seemed an eternity. We knew that once we left the protective covering of the overpass, the next possible shelter was an hour away, and home was another hour past that. Finally, one of us remembered the admonition that faith precedes the miracle, and we realized that we needed to exercise our faith. We put our trust in the Lord and left the cover of the overpass. To this day, I remember every drop of rain that I saw land on the hood of the truck as we inched out from under the overpass. It was a severe trial of our faith, but by the time the cab of the truck was out in the open, the rain had stopped. The next 2 hours were filled with much prayer and thanksgiving. We made it home with our load in good shape, and as we were pulling the truck into the barn, the heavens released their pent-up downpour. Our business survived, and both of us were able to successfully fund our missionary service. Not all of my prayers have been answered this way, but I am very thankful for the lesson in faith my brother and I learned sitting under the freeway overpass in the rain. I Will Never Go to Church Again by Oleg Barabash. I will never go to church anymore, were my thoughts after I hadn't attended for more than 2 months. I was a recent convert in Lviv, Ukraine, and I stopped going to church because I felt very lonely there. I didn't have any friends at church, and almost every time I attended, I sat by myself. I thought nobody cared about me, so I became inactive. The only friends I had were not members, and I soon found myself living the way they did. I started to drink, to smoke, and to use inappropriate language. One Sunday afternoon, my friends and I were drinking alcohol and talking vulgarly when my brother came to tell me that two missionaries had come to see me. I couldn't believe that somebody from the church actually remembered me. I was drunk by then and didn't want the missionaries to find out, but at the same time, I really wanted to see them. After some hesitation, I decided to meet with them. Elder Shumway and Elder Hristov were happy to see me. I tried to pretend I wasn't drunk, but I knew they could tell. When they left, something kept telling me what I was doing was wrong, and I felt bad inside. I thought the missionaries would never come again. A few days later, I was out with my friends again. I felt lost and hopeless, so I continued to drink and behave inappropriately. I was very surprised when my brother came again to tell me the missionaries were back to see me. This time I didn't want to go home. I was ashamed, but my friends persuaded me to go. The missionaries were happy to see me. We had a quick chat, and they said they would come again. The next week passed quickly. This time I didn't go out with my friends because I knew the missionaries would come. I couldn't wait to see them. When they came, I felt something I didn't feel when I was with my friends. They were about to leave when Elder Shemoy said, "Oleg, the mission president is coming to visit our branch on Friday night. He will give a very interesting talk. If you want to, you could come hear it." "Yes, I will come," I said. After agreeing, however, I worried that I was not worthy to go to church after what I had done. But I didn't want to break my promise to the missionaries. When I arrived at the branch meeting house, everybody was happy to see me. I realized they hadn't forgotten me. The mission president talked about how we should be righteous and try to keep all the commandments. As I listened, something pierced my soul, something I hadn't felt for a very long time. It was a peaceful and calm feeling. I was feeling the Spirit. Tears came to my eyes, and my soul cried for repentance. I understood what I had been missing for such a long time. I promised myself that I would go to church because I needed the Spirit to be with me. A couple of weeks later, the branch president asked to see me. He asked how I was doing. I started crying and explained what had happened to me. He was very kind and asked me if I wanted a priesthood blessing. In that blessing, I was given great promises if I would do my best to keep the commandments. I was later called as an advisor to the young men. A year after that, I received my call to serve a full-time mission in England. Now I am studying at Brigham Young University and working at the Missionary Training Center in Provo. I couldn't have even dreamed about these blessings before. I am happy and grateful I had the chance to come back to the church. I am grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ because it has changed my life. The Right Place for Me, by Francisco Javier Lara Hernandez. I have heard the account many times of the arrival of the pioneers in the Salt Lake Valley under the direction of Brigham Young. Although I live in Mexico, my own story is similar. I had been praying to find the true church and the purpose of my life. A friend of mine, Sandro, introduced me to the missionaries, and soon I was listening to their message. One day, while they were teaching me about the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ in the latter days, I was suddenly filled with a great joy. I knew I had arrived, or, as President Young said, "This is the right place. Drive on." But just like the pioneers, I had to adapt to the place where I had arrived. It was a world unknown to me. Wonderful, but unknown. The way people dressed, the way they talked, the way they acted were all new to me. I didn't always understand the meanings of the phrases commonly used in the church. For example, when talking to people who have been members for longer than I had, they might talk about someone whom they described as a powerful member, meaning someone who was righteous and a good example to others. My idea of power was different. These things were common knowledge to the rest of them, but I had to learn them. This period of transition from investigator to active member was not easy. Fortunately, like the pioneers, I was never alone. Sandro and other understanding members were always close by to answer my questions, simple as they were, and to guide me on the path I had undertaken. My leaders were concerned enough to see that I remained worthy and received the priesthood, and later I was able to serve as a counselor to the bishop. My teachers always took care to see that I was nourished by the good word of God. I realize now that through these good people, the Lord helped me stay strong in the church. I am no longer the only member of the church in my family, and the years I have spent as a member of the church, two of them as a missionary, have been wonderful. Thanks to the Lord and His prophet, President Young, the pioneers were able to establish themselves in the Salt Lake Valley and become a powerful people in the mountains. Great men and women made this possible. In like manner, I have received what I needed to remain strong in the church, to progress, and to have an opportunity to return to the presence of our Heavenly Father. End of Latter-day Saint Voices.